Welcome back. This is Echo Part 3. This part is called Auld Lang Syne. It takes place in December 1942, Southern California, United States. In La Colonia, a barrio of whitewashed bungalows on the outskirts of Fresno County, Ivy Maria Lopez and her mother walked toward the post office, hoping for a letter. With one hand, Mama clutched to her neck her heavy sweater, and with the other, she held an empty laundry basket. Ivy dawdled, playing the harmonica. She was far enough away that Mama couldn't hear the music, but she kept the notes low and muted anyway. Next week, she would be on the radio with her class. She hadn't told Mama and Papa the surprise yet. Her teacher, Miss Delgado, had chosen her to perform a solo. "Come, Ivy," called Mama. "We need to get the mail and the laundry before dark." She looked up. "And before the rain." Ivy hurried to keep up, her eyes following Mama's. Clouds the color of charcoal smudged the sky, brooding. She slipped the harmonica inside the jacket. His gray wool jacket, with its hidden pocket that zipped so pennies could not escape. "Mama, is it possible to be inside a song?" "Ivy, what nonsense is this?" "When I play the harmonica, I feel like I'm traveling on the notes to faraway places." In the distance, a truck horn beeped 5 times. Mama groaned. "Oh, Ivy, there's no time for your silliness. The mail is just arriving. We will have to wait for the clerk to call names. You go to the post office, and I will get the clothes." "Can I meet Araceli after?" asked Ivy. "I promised her." "Do you have schoolwork? You know how Papa feels about—" Ivy shook her head. "Miss Delgado says our only assignment is to practice our songs for the performance next week." She opened both arms wide. "Presenting Miss Delgado's 5th grade class on the Colgate Family Hour." Mama smiled, but it was half-hearted. "Yes, I know." "Do you think everyone in La Colonia will listen? And even people farther away than Fresno will hear? Do you think the radio station will ask us back for more performances?" Mama's brow furrowed. "Ivy, always with so many questions about frivolous things. This is why Papa says you have your head in the clouds. You must come down to earth." Her eyes drifted across the barrio in the direction of the post office. Ivy could see she was too preoccupied to indulge her. Still, Mama's words stung. Ivy couldn't help asking questions, and playing harmonica on the radio wasn't any more frivolous than her older brother Fernando playing basketball in high school. Mama and Papa never said that was frivolous. They went to every game. Ivy stuffed down her hurt feelings. She was sure when they heard her solo on the radio, they would see what Miss Delgado already knew. There was something remarkable about Ivy, too. "If there is mail, bring it to us before you meet Araceli."
"I will."
Ivy stood on tiptoe to kiss Mama's cheek. As she watched Mama walk away, swaying toward the community clotheslines, the basket perched on a hip, she couldn't help but notice how much she and Fernando resembled her, tall, thin, and wide-eyed with thick, dark hair. Papa was the opposite, short, round, bald, and, when he smiled, squinty-eyed. Ivy touched one of her long braids. Did Fernando look more like Papa now that his head was shaved? Nearby, someone played Silent Night on a guitar. As she walked, Ivy raised her harmonica and accompanied the music. Christmas lights glowed in bungalow windows. Dark billows shifted overhead. A breeze lifted. Ivy's imagination filled with the blur of the colored lights, the tender song, and the whiff of rain-soaked earth on the wind. She closed her eyes and felt herself drift somewhere in time. She was a vagabond in a jeweled robe, following a caravan across the everlasting sand under a star-lit sky. All is calm. All is bright. When the song finished, she looked up to see her neighbors, Mrs. Perez and her daughter-in-law, listening and nodding. People paid attention when she played the harmonica. They took her seriously and appreciated her talent. When Mama and Papa heard her performance at the radio station, Ivy hoped they would, too. Inside the post office, she wiggled through the crowd to the front counter and waited for the clerk to open the mail sack. Recruitment posters covered each wall. Join the Army Nurse Corps. Army Airborne all the way. Man the guns. Join the Navy. Always advance with the Marines. It seemed the United States military wanted everyone over 18 for something, although Fernando hadn't needed a poster to convince him. As the clerk called out the names, Ivy watched the hungry eyes of mothers and young wives. Alberto Marino, Martina Alvarado, Maria Peña, Jose Hernandez, Elena Guzman, Victor Lopez. Ivy's heart jumped. Here! She raised her hand and reached for the large, fat envelope addressed to Papa, with a row of 3-cent stamps affixed to it. She studied the return address and felt a pinch of disappointment. It was not from Fernando. It had been well over a month since they last heard from him, and each day Mama and Papa grew more tense. She waited until the clerk shook out the bag and said, "That is all for now, my friends. If not today, maybe tomorrow." Ivy hurried back to the bungalow, where she found Papa sitting at the kitchen table. His eyes lit up when he saw the envelope. "A letter?" Ivy laid it on the table. "Sorry, Papa. It is not from Nando." She headed toward the door.
"Wait, where are you going in such a hurry? It's almost dark."
She turned. "To meet Araceli. Mama said I could."
"Come back very soon."
He waved, opened the envelope, and began to read. Before Ivy reached the front door, she heard Papa calling Mama's name.
"Luz, Luz!"
Mama rushed from the bedroom.
"Victor, what is it?"
Ivy paused, her hand on the doorknob.
"It is from my cousin, Guillermo.
It is the miracle we have been waiting for, a farm in Orange County near Los Angeles. Guillermo made the arrangements and has sent the papers."
Ivy's heart pounded, and she whispered,
"No."
Papa's voice carried,
"The owner needs someone who knows about supervising and irrigation. That is me. There is a letter for you, too, from his wife, Bertina, and the papers to register Ivy for school, and all the instructions from the owner."
"Ivy Maria, we have news."
Ivy didn't wait to hear more. She pulled open the door and ran. Chapter 2. Where was Araceli? Ivy paced beneath the pepper trees where they always met, the winter limbs now naked with bald fists. Icy sprinkles stung her face. She whispered,
"Hurry."
Araceli was her best friend. It had been hard to make friends of any sort when she had lived so many places. Button Willow, Modesto, Selma, Shafter, and other towns whose names she'd long forgotten. All that had changed when they moved to Fresno. For the first time ever, Papa had worked in one place for a year, an entire year. She and Araceli both arrived at La Colonia the same week. Even though Araceli was a year older in school, the two girls looked so much alike with their black lashes, long brown braids, and wide smiles that people thought they were sisters. They quickly discovered that they had even more in common. Araceli had lived all over Central California, too, even in some of the places as Ivy, but at different times. They both loved to read, play jacks, and could jump rope 100 times double dutch without missing. Ivy breathed into the harmonica, creating a lonely wail.
"Ivy!"
She whirled around. Araceli rushed toward her, wearing a purple crocheted hat, pulled down over her ears. She kissed Ivy on the cheek, keeping one arm behind her back.
"Sorry I am late. I had to go to the store for my mother."
Ivy tried to sound happy.
"New hat?"
"My mother made it. And," she smiled and revealed what was behind her back,
"I asked her to make a matching one for you."
She held out an identical purple crocheted hat. Ivy pulled it on.
"How do I look?"
"The same as me," Araceli giggled. "Now no one can tell us apart." Ivy laughed too, but her happiness became all mixed up with her sadness, and she began to cry.
"What's wrong?"
I'm leaving." Araceli's face crimped with disbelief.
"No. When? To where?"
"Soon, I think. Somewhere near Los Angeles." Ivy looked down. Brittle leaves scampered across her shoes, whispering their goodbyes. She kicked at the stragglers. Araceli hugged her.
"Don't cry. We will always be friends. Besides, if not you, it would probably be me and my family leaving. My father says everyone moves from La Colonia sooner or later, if they want to get ahead in this world. Ivy sniffled and tried to smile. Why did it have to be sooner rather than later?
Let's promise to write each other every week, said Araceli. Twice a week, three times.
Her eyes drooped.
You won't forget me, will you?
Ivy shook her head.
Never.
Fat raindrops splattered the dirt as the sky opened.
Run, yelled Araceli.
Squealing, they darted beneath the eaves of a corner bungalow where they needed to go their separate ways. They faced each other and held hands, but Ivy could not make herself jump up and down or laugh like they usually did. Araceli leaned in and kissed Ivy's cheek.
See you tomorrow.
Then she darted across the road to her home, opened the door, and stood on the threshold, backlit by the light inside. Ivy tried to etch the image into her mind. Her best friend, wearing a matching purple hat, waving and blowing kisses to her. She blew kisses in return and pretended they were not the beginning of goodbye. As she dashed back to her bungalow, the rain pelted her. Ivy slammed the door on the downpour. Her hands and feet ached, changing from ice cold to warm. She pulled off her hat and jacket and heard Papa talking to Mama in the kitchen.
What about Nando? Said Mama.
I will write to him tonight, said Papa. When this war is finished, he will return to a real home, a house.
Finally,
a house, Luz. We cannot dismiss the opportunity. I'm sorry we must leave at once.
Ivy frowned and stepped into the kitchen.
When?
Mama looked at Ivy, her eyes apologizing.
In the morning.
Ivy stiffened.
The morning? But what about my friends and Miss Delgado?
Disappointment slapped her as the news sank in. She blurted her secret.
And the performance on the radio. I am playing a solo. It was a surprise for you.
Papa rubbed both hands over his head.
Ivy, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for our family. There will be other chances for you to perform, maybe at your new school.
He held out his arms to her as if pleading for her to understand. Ivy's eyes smarted, and she blinked back tears. She was sure if Fernando were here and he had a basketball game, Papa would wait until after to leave. As much as Ivy wanted to speak her mind, she held back. Mama would think it improper to use Fernando as an example when he was away fighting a war. And Papa was Papa. When he said it was time to leave, they left. He wasn't going to change his mind unless she thought of a practical reason.
I need to tell Miss Delgado I can't perform the solo. She's counting on me, and Araceli thinks we're meeting tomorrow.
Mama's eyes filled with regret, but her voice was firm.
It cannot be helped. Guillermo and Bertina had to leave the farm.
All of Bertina's brothers are at war, and her father took ill. They had to move to Texas to help her family. We cannot leave the property unattended much longer, so you understand the urgency.
You can write Miss Delgado and Araceli notes, and we can drop them at the post office on our way out.
Ivy whimpered.
It's not the same as in person. Araceli is my best friend, and Miss Delgado is my favorite teacher, the best teacher I've ever had.
I know, said Mama, putting an arm around Ivy.
But there will be other teachers and other friends, and we will have a house and a yard where we can plant flowers and a garden. There is a washing machine. Can you imagine? We will not have to haul clothes across camp anymore. I will take over Bertina's job helping a neighbor with laundry. It is all arranged.
And I will be in charge of 60 acres, said Papa.
He held up the envelope.
We are fortunate that Guillermo recommended me. Very fortunate.
Ivy stared at Papa, feeling numb.
Ivy, there is a possibility this situation will be permanent, said Papa. It is what we've always wanted. You will go to a new school, a better school, with fine teachers, and the weather cannot be compared, I promise you. Everything will be better.
I was going to play a solo. I've been practicing and practicing.
Papa threw out his arms.
Ivy, there are far more serious matters at hand than this indulgence of yours.
Papa's words stabbed her. Why did he think so little of her harmonica playing? And why, for once, couldn't he change his mind? Ivy stared at the floor and bit her lip to keep from crying. In La Colonia, she'd finally belonged to Araceli, to Miss Delgado, to her neighbors. None of them thought her frivolous or indulgent. Now, all that mattering was being cast aside, like rubbish on the road. And for what? Would this move really be different from the rest? Papa sighed.
Ivy, do you expect us to stay here for 6 more days when there are trees to be watered and a house waiting for us and the chance at a permanent situation just so you can play a 2-minute song on the harmonica?
Her thoughts swirled. She knew how she wanted to answer, but then she remembered the promise she'd made to Fernando to be a good little soldier and help Mama and Papa while he was away. Did that mean doing anything to make Mama and Papi happy, even if it made her unhappy?
No, she whispered. Mama and I need to talk to my bosses and say some goodbyes. We'll be back in 1 hour to pack our things.
He patted her shoulder before they left. Ivy went to the bedroom she had shared with Fernando before he left. Several empty boxes already sat on one bed. Her suitcase was lying open on the other. She flung clothes at it. At the end of next week, Christmas vacation started. Other parents waited until their children were out of school, but not Papa. They had to leave at once. Ivy sank to her bed, letting the tears come.
Better. Papa was always looking for a place called better.
Once this place, Fresno, had been better. Now it was nothing more than the last place she'd lived. She knew how it would be after they left. For a few days, the news would burn on everyone's lips like the oil of Serrano chilies. Then, in a few weeks, the memory of Ivy Maria Lopez would fade away, as if she had never lived there, as if she'd never belonged somewhere for an entire year.